Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for this opportunity to be still and to reflect on your word and on your grace for each one of us. Bless us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is a great day for Daisy, and a great day for this church. Daisy's baptism is the fourth adult baptism that we've had in this church in this past year. And in past years past, we've had many little ones being baptized, but I don't think anybody can remember four adult baptisms in one year. And I hope and pray, and I hope you join with me in this prayer, that this is a sign of things to come. In the Roman Catholic Diocese of Sydney this year, 340 baptisms took place at Easter, and most of them were young people. Last year in France, 10,000 people were baptized. Now, France is the most secular of all the countries in Europe, and most of those 10,000 who were baptized were young men. So we hope and pray that this turnaround is also going to be the same in Australia. Baptism is a precious gift, huh? All that Jesus did for us in his life and death, his resurrection and ascension, is given to us in this little package of water and God's word, which is filled with promise and love. In baptism, we're set free from being under the power of sin. In baptism, we are given new life. We die with Jesus, we're buried with Jesus, we're raised with Jesus as children of God. We are washed clean, and we're clothed with the holiness and righteousness of Jesus. So that, as the song says, when God looks at me, he sees not what I used to be, but he sees Jesus. Baptism is God's free gift. It costs us nothing. But it cost God a great deal. It cost God the life of his son. Now, Martin Luther was inspired by the words that we heard just read before from 1 Peter to write his explanation to the second part of the Apostles' Creed. And I invite you to read with me as we read part of it. Jesus rescued me when I was lost and sentenced to death. He set me free from all my sins, from death and from the power of the devil. It cost him more than gold or silver. It cost him his life. Even though he was holy and innocent, he suffered and died for me. Jesus did all that so that I might belong to him and live unto him in his kingdom. So today, my friends, thank God for your baptism. Let your baptism assure you that God loves you, that God is with you all through life, and God will hold on to you even in death. He will never let you go. Now, the people that St. Peter wrote to a long time ago were first generation Christians, and many of them, perhaps most of them, were adults, like Daisy, baptized as adults. And these people lived in a society which was suspicious of Christians at best and hostile to Christians at worst. Now, they probably weren't being persecuted at the time Peter wrote to them, but they all knew that tough times, times of persecution, were coming. Now, we're fortunate that we live in a society where Christians aren't persecuted, but we live in a society that has shifted a long way off its Christian foundations. Today our faith is constantly undermined and sometimes openly attacked, and it's difficult not to be influenced by the secular media and by people all around us. Nearly every family here will have one or more members who were baptized and now have drifted away from a church and from following Christ. The Apostle Peter himself knew how hard it is to remain as a Christian when you're put under pressure, he would have remembered what he did when he was put under pressure, how he had denied Jesus 3 times. And he didn't want his readers, his hearers, to do the same. Most of them were adults, true, but in terms of their faith, they were just babies. And what he wants for them is to grow up and grow strong as Christians. And so at the beginning of chapter 2, St. Peter writes, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. And St. Peter knew that for babies to grow well, they needed a good diet. All right, this little bloke up here, that's my great-grandson Lars. He was born a year ago. Just go back, please. Lars was born a year ago, and he was born 6 weeks early. And at birth, he weighed just over a kilo and a bit, maybe a kilo and a half at most. Here he is today. Next one, please. Here he is today. he's an energetic, bubbly, healthy little bloke. Who looks a bit like the Michelin Man and certainly feels like the Michelin Man when you have to carry him around. And his growth is due to his mother's milk. Here he is with his mum. And, of course, the other food that she feeds him as well. All right. So St. Peter wants his hearers to grow up in their faith, and he has 2 kinds of growth in mind. The first one is the growth in holiness. Now, holiness means being dedicated to God, being dedicated to God above everything else that might have a claim on your life. He tells his readers, think of yourselves as pilgrims, as people on this religious journey. You're passing through the countryside, but you don't belong there. You're different from the people who live there. They have their priorities, but your priority is the call of God on your life. And his call is more important than anything else. And Christians, you and I, Christians, are pilgrims in this world. We live in the world, but as Jesus said, we are not of the world. We belong to Jesus. Our chief loyalty is to him. And we must be careful not to let society shape our values and feelings and way of life. Our values and feelings and way of life need to be shaped by Jesus, the Holy Son of God, and by his Holy Spirit. The second kind of growth that St. Peter had in mind was growth in love. Now, everybody's in favour of love. But what people mean by love is very different. Christian love is not an emotion. It's not a warm, fuzzy feeling that I have inside. Christian love is not based on what the other person looks like, what the other person acts like, or how attractive you find them. Christian love is based on God's amazing love. This is the love we see in Jesus' life and death. It's love for the outsider. It's love for the unloved. Love for the person who's unattractive. Love for those who've gone off the rails and messed up their lives. It's love based on what the other person really needs. Christian love responds generously to the need of another person. And St. Peter urges us to show love to all people and especially to other Christians. He probably had in mind the words of Jesus, other people will recognize you as my disciples when you have love for one another. Real love is more than nice words. Now, here's an example of love that my son Nick told me about just this past week. Last Sunday, a group of about 24 young surfers from the USA stayed overnight in the Lutheran Church Hall at Unley. They're on their way to Western Australia to do some surfing there. The next morning, the whole group came and attended worship at St. John's, and they were about to hop on their bus and continue their journey to Western Australia when Glynis Hartwich invited the whole group to a place for lunch. She hadn't prepared for it. She hadn't planned it. And as she left, she told Nick, "I'm going to have to hurry down to the shop to buy some extra food," which she did. Now, Glynis is a person who has grown up and grown strong in the Christian faith. I've known her for many years. I first met her when I was working in Gawler as a vicar, as a student pastor. And I instructed her and her brother for confirmation. And then I went to Papua New Guinea, and later she came to Papua New Guinea, and she had a ministry among women at a place where Gus Schutz worked, a place called Tarabo. And then when she came to Australia, Glynis worked in the overseas mission department, and eventually she became the overseas person in charge of all the overseas mission in Australia. Glynis has grown up in her salvation. She's grown in holiness and love. How? By getting the right spiritual diet. Baptism is a wonderful gift. It's the beginning of new life, but it's just the beginning. Just the beginning. At baptism, God makes us his children. Like all good parents, God wants us to grow up in our salvation, huh? To grow in holiness and love, and for that we need a good spiritual diet. So, Daisy, all of us, keep on feeding on God's word. Keep on sharing in the Lord's Supper. That's how you keep on growing in Christ. That's how you keep on going with Christ along the road of life. Let's pray. Our loving God, we thank you that you have made us your children. Hold us close. Lead us and feed us so that we grow more and more like Jesus. In his holy name we pray. Amen.